in prayer. Let's stand together for prayer here. Heavenly Lord, we just thank you that you are God. Lord, that we are not. That you are holy. That your holiness is offered to us by faith through grace. Lord, as we come in and receive you, Lord, we get all of our junk goes and you take it. And all of your righteousness you give. Lord, we thank you that God the Father does not see us in faith as sinners full of junk. He sees us as children of God, holy by what you have done and what we have received from you. Father, I pray that new identity would be leading us. Lord, as we listen, I pray that we would be listening with ears that receive the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that as our series is called, Lord, that we not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, that we become more and more doers of the word. Father, that it brings us greatest pleasure in our lives to be doers of your word. That we find our passion, our pleasure, our purpose in being doers of your word. So, Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that we get to come and hear from your word, Lord. So bless us. Bless us now through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Is there going to be an arrangement for the offerings for the camp to be taken up? We'll talk about that later. Thank you. We haven't talked about that, so that'd be good to talk about that. Thanks. All right. So, guys, faith versus religion. Faith versus religion. And some of you may be thinking, what? What do you mean faith versus religion? And one of the things that I really love to say to people, especially after they've heard that I'm a pastor, is, and they're asking me questions, is I love to let them know, because they talk about religion and all the problems that it's caused throughout history, and I say, you know what, you're so right. I'm not for religion either. And you'll always get a kind of a stop and a, wait, aren't you a pastor? And you know, sometimes even when I'm talking with people that and they ask what I do, I at the very beginning I won't say pastor because it'll shut off doors. So I'll say things like, "Well, I'm a spiritual midwife." You're what? In Seattle, that's always a good one because it speaks the language of the culture that we're in. And spiritual, that sounds so cool. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds neat. Spiritual midwife. And at the end of the conversation, it's like, "So you're a pastor." Yeah. But one of the things that's really a challenge is really looking at the difference between faith and religion. And as we come to the scriptures today, so often, you know, we're called to put off the old, the dead man, and to put on the new. And so often in our faith, in our walks with Christ, we try and resurrect that dead man. We try to bring him back, and we try and live in old religious ways. And it's like we're trying to bring up the ideas of the Pharisees and the religious ways rather than moving forward in faith. And so as we continue on in James, we're hitting James 1, 26 and 27. Now, you guys know that I've been attempting to do bigger chunks and then never finishing the chunk. So I took a small chunk today. And if we can't get through two verses, boy, I tell you, I'm in big trouble. All right. So here we go. James 1, 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, I want that to sink in just a little bit. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This person's religion is worthless. Guys, how important is the tongue? Now, sometimes people read through that and they think, hey, you know, it means that we're supposed to not swear. But it's not talking about coarse language. It's not talking about swearing. It's if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. And the word that's being used there is a word that is saying, are we building up with our words or are we tearing down? And I always, anytime we talk about building and tearing, I always have two pictures that come to my mind. And you can tell I've done some damage with this puppy. It's chipping here. Oh, wait, I've even got a little piece coming off here. All right. That's when you don't hit the stake that you're aiming at or something, you know? And just like the cartoons. You can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time. I worked construction a number of years as I was going to school, and I do construction during the summers. I wasn't very good at the building. This was not the tool they gave me. They said, Shorak, you're pretty big. You like to swing things hard. Anything that needs to be taken down, go for it. So, and I loved heights, so I would be up standing on walls and, you know, I was taking this thing and swinging hard. And I love bringing things down. It feels powerful. I felt powerful when I would bring things down. There's something about, you're up there and you're just, sorry. And you just, man, the power that you feel, that here was a house or a wall or a fence, and it's gone. And I did that. Now, there were some people who were very skilled, and they would take a much smaller thing, and they would start with nothing and build something. And when they were done, they would stand back and they would say, look at what we did. Look at what we did. One was creating, the other one was tearing down. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, guys, the tongue is so powerful because it can cut things down. It can chop things down. It can knock things down. And it can do it very, very quickly. And here's the thing, it can do it even in the name of religion, in the name of God. How often have we seen things being said, things being done in the name of God that did not have a godly feel? Did not have a godly feel. So often you talk with people and you hear, you know, often when I invite people to come to church, the response is, no. The one place I've vowed that I'll never go is church. Well, why did you make that vow? Well, I've been to church before. I've been crushed. And I've heard story after story. And this one story that this gentleman shared with me was he was the son of a single mom. And the only son of a single mom. And he remembered going to church with his mother, and because of some of her life choices, as soon as the service was over, they'd been going a few months, he remembers some people in leadership, he doesn't remember if it was elders or not, but coming up and having a talk with his mother, and he was standing there, and he was younger, and they were explaining to the mother why she didn't belong in church because some of her life choices. And it breaks your heart to think that people will go in seeking God and being told, you know what? God doesn't love you. He doesn't like you. And get out. And usually we don't say those words, but sometimes in the lives of Christians, we can be a little rough around the edges, can't we? I want to look at Matthew 12, starting in verse 34. And Jesus had just healed a man who was blind and mute. And as after he healed him, some of the Pharisees had said, oh, he's doing it by the powers of Beelzebub. And so imagine you're one of the religious leaders. And you see Jesus come in and he does an incredible healing. And instantly you think the worst. And instantly they make these claims. And Jesus' response is, starting in verse 34, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? Now, how are you who are evil? These are the religious leaders of the day. They've got religious hearts. They follow the rules. They do what's right in the eyes of man. They try and follow the rules of God. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guys, where our heart is, it matters. Because what's happening in our heart, what comes gushing forth out to the people around us, is what's taking place in the heart. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account of the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. What we do, what we say, it matters. It matters. As I want to encourage us, let's be growing and growing and growing in our personal lives, that so more and more and more we are building up. We are building up. Guys, I promise you, just like the sledgehammer, sometimes it feels good to knock it down. If you've been wounded, boy, I tell you, when you're wounded, this is the weapon, the tool of choice. When we've been wounded, it's so easy for us to look, to bring, to cause things to come crashing down. When we've been misunderstood, when we've been hurt, when we've been discouraged, it's easy for us as believers to say, you know what, I want to bring up that old man. I want to resurrect that old man. And I want to do things my way. I find it interesting that Jesus has words like, you brood of vipers, for the religious. You brood of vipers. How would you like God himself, Emmanuel, saying to you, you brood of vipers? Now, if I was one of those guys, and then Jesus was crucified, and then he came back and he showed himself to over 500 people, if I was one of those guys and I saw Jesus later, you know what I'd be thinking? Oh, I'm a viper. See, man looks at the outside. Man looks at what we do, how we act. Are we doing the appropriate things in man's eyes? God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Back to James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. As this is why I think that you know, as I was looking at different people and as I was reading through it myself, there was a lot of different discussions whether the religious, whether it spoke of those who are believers or those who and just acting as the old man, or those who are just religious and not believers. The principle speaks to both. But I believe that this is saying, as I look, as it continues to go on in the scripture that we're going to continue on next week, I believe it's talking to those who are believers, but acting as though they're religious. So those who are saved, but acting as though that religion is what they're about. As I don't want my religion, my faith in Jesus Christ, my walk with Him, I don't want it to be worthless in this world. I don't want it to be something where I get up to heaven, God says, hey, woo, by the skin of your teeth, welcome. My hope and my prayer is that we grow, that we take great pleasure in having our words build, having our words encourage, having our words lift those who are struggling around us up. Verse 27 says this. We're going to get to the second verse, so we'll get through it all right. Verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. As faith is kind and committed, what's important here is it's looking at both public compassion and private purity. Once again, what's in the heart will overflow not only in our words, but our deeds. And this brings us to an idea that a lot of people will say, well, you know what? Being a Christian means being holy, being changed on the inside, and being not of the world, and not allowing the sin of the world to come in here. And other people will say, well, you know, real faith, not just religion, is being changed so much that you go and you do. That you go and you serve, and it's all about what we give to others. And you'll often have people kind of take one side of the track or the other side. That's about knowing and what you know and acquiring in your mind and heart. And for others, it's about what you do. And what this is saying is, yes, both are important. When we're changed from the inside by the Word of God is living, guys. It's the living Word. It is a powerful thing. It has the power to transform us from the inside out if we humble ourselves to the truth of the Word. So what's causing you personally? What's causing you to hold on to a religious mindset? What's causing you to drag that old man up if you're already saved? Or what's causing you to look at, as you're on this journey of faith and you've been coming to church and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus yet, but you're checking it out and you're giving an honest look, and what is it that's causing you to say, you know what, I'm comfortable with it out there, but I just don't want to bring it in here. What is it in your life that's causing you to live in that old way? The old man, the junk, the way of the world, the wisdom of the world. And I know what it is for me. I know the areas that I struggle with at times in my life, the things that I go through. I know what it is for me that causes me to sometimes say in my life, I want to dig up that old guy. I'm more comfortable there. I at least know how to deal with this emotion in that brokenness. Because I've believed for a moment the lie of the enemy, which says you are not a new creation in Christ. Which says, you know what? The things that were done to you or that you did are who you are. And I start believing those lies from the enemy. And when I do that, I struggle with digging up the old guy. What happens when we refuse to dig him up or her up? Where we come and the lies from the enemy come and the wounds from brothers and sisters come. And what happens if those wounds come and we say, you know what? I'm not willing to live as the old man or the old woman. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have my words break others down. And instead, what's going to happen is I'm going to experience the truth of my identity in Christ. And as I experience and go back to that truth, now guess what happens? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Why would you need to keep unstained from the world if you were not in the world? You know, I've got this thing when I eat food. I almost always spill on my shirt right about here. And I'm hoping that as I continue to lose weight, that it'll happen less. It'll just go straight down. But have you ever, you know what's really frustrating is when you get the new shirt? So I'm wearing one of my newer shirts for $12.95 on sale. All right. All right. This is after I was so excited when the stain came off. I was eating some bread with some jam on it. I'm trying to stay away from breads. And the jam, first thing I eat with the shirt, the jam, oh! So I you know, went through the whole rigmarole of putting it underwater and leaving it there and hoping that after it went through the wash, it would come out. The stain is gone, I'm excited to say. I can wear my shirt at church. To keep oneself unstained from the world. See, if we're not in the world, we don't have to worry about getting stained. But we're called to be in the world to where the stains can come, but where we're in Christ in such a way that they don't come. But they could come. But they don't come. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you are spending all your time receiving and not giving, something's amiss. Something's amiss. If you're spending all your time being with the church and never being with the church so that I'm preparing to go into the world but not be stained by the world. We've got to stop thinking my spirituality is about being right in here. No, this is the training ground. This is where we come to receive the word, to be encouraged, to be with the brothers and sisters, to armor up in the word of God. And as we're fully armed to go out into the world on mission, for a purpose, for God's purpose, not for our own pleasure, because then we're just the stain. And we're bringing the stain to those in Christ and out of Christ. But if we're going out on mission, man, that's another reason why I'm so excited about what Dave just talked about. It's another opportunity for us to go out on mission, to go out and love people and say, you know what, the reason we're here, maybe you not even say it, but they know it. But when the opportunity presents itself, Jesus knows what you're going through. He loves you where you're at. You don't have to clean up first. He'll meet you right where you're at. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. You know what? We're called to love those and look out for those who are unlovable and who can't look out for themselves. You know, there's only three specific ministries that are listed in the Word of God that I know of, and I'm pretty sure it's only three, that are specifically listed as this is what it is. So we're to be what? One of them is orphans and widows. Anybody know what the third one is? Those in prison. What it's saying is those who society has just pushed aside. I'll never forget when Julie and I spent those 6 years in Uganda where we became a family with our oldest three and then added one more, and where God established us as a family and where God met our greatest desires of our hearts in this world with the family that He gave us. I'll never forget a country that had so many children without parents. And seeing children that had been left. Our heart was desiring so much. We had been trying for years to have children. And here were people that had children and they were just setting them aside. Sometimes it was because of where they were at, their physical health, mother dying during birth, lots of reasons. But over and over, children being left. As we're called to love and to do something about those who can't help themselves. We're called to look out for those who are struggling. We're called to minister. And guys, it is fun. When you honor God in this, you get to see miracles that are unbelievable. I remember when we adopted Isaac, and I was taking him around and showing him off, and he vomited on my head first time. I just scooped all the goop off and kept on going, and that's my boy. He can vomit well. Look at that. Strong lungs. Yeah, buddy. There's joy. There is, man, when God meets you as you're meeting others, there is a blessing there. As you're serving and doing, there's great, great blessing. Faith is kind and committed. Just think about that. It's kind. Where in your faith does kindness need to come in? Where in your faith are you ruling rather than leading? Where in your faith are you trying to get your way rather than seeking God? Faith is kind and committed. There's both the public compassion and then the private purity. Guys, that private purity. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That personal purity. What do you need to give up, guys? What do you need to set aside? What is God saying to you? I want you to let this go. I want you to give it to me. Not in your strength, but in mine. I want you to take this burden that's causing the mind to go in places where it shouldn't go. Guys, we live in a world that celebrates evil. It celebrates evil. It celebrates... pornography is on a rampage right now. I was just looking at stats of what percentages, huge percentages of kids have phones that can get online. And there is so much available at the fingertips, so easy to get a hold of. Junk just waiting to corrupt the minds. But it's not just our children, is it? There's a lot of junk out there. There's a lot of junk out there. We need to be pure of heart, guys. I want to end quickly with this. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. I'll give the background after I read the scripture here. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, and or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Think about it, guys. When we serve those around us, when we give, when we take the time to love on the people who are hurting, guys, do you know what I mean by reading somebody's body language? "Hey, how you doing?" "Good." "Things going okay?" "Yeah, they're great." "They're not great." Get involved. Ask questions. Love on people. Find out how you can bless, serve, help, do. I'm good. I just feel like the Lord's saying, just let this scripture, that last scripture, just kind of stand on its own. Let it stand on its own. You guys, I want to end with this. One of the things that we're called to do is to love on each other. And one of the ways that we do that is by prayer. And Jim, can I have you come on up here? I don't really. Jim and I have been becoming good friends. And I really value him. I love him, and on Monday, was it Monday?
No,
Monday the 8th, he was supposed to have surgery, went down, and there were some complications with insurance and communicating, and so it got put off, and he's going to have his hip replaced, and so... It said, "Well, it's going to be later and later." And he was really frustrated because he's ready to have it. And they let him know just recently here that it's going to be this Wednesday. And he's been in a lot of pain, walking around in a lot of pain. And then to have that, "Yes, you're going to have it." "No, you're not." "Yes, you're going to have it." "No, you're not." And so now it's set. And I just want us as a church family to pray for our brother here. And number one, that the surgery takes place. And number two, that that it's a blessing. So let's gather around here and let's stand up and put our hands on him and or hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. God, thank you that you are trustworthy, that we can trust you even then when we don't see what you're doing, yes, when we don't understand.
Yes.
The circumstances don't change who you are, and the circumstances don't change who we are in you. Father, I just thank you for Jim. I thank you for his family, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless them all, Lord. Encourage them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this date where he can have this surgery and experience healing and blessing. Lord, we pray for a quick recovery that he'll be able to get back to work soon. Lord, and provide for his family and bless and encourage and love. Lord, just thank you for the man that he is. Thank you that you have been teaching him about who you are through this process. Lord, thank you that you've been blessing him in the struggle. Lord, I just pray that he would receive all of the blessing that you have for him during this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving, not only in his body physically, but, Lord, spiritually and emotionally and relationally. Lord, you love the whole man. So, Lord, we lift our brother up. We love him. And we lay him at your feet, and we trust you with him. And we thank you for him. Bless him. Bless the surgery, Lord. May it go really well. Lord, and I just pray that there would be people in the hospital who would be touched by this man and by his family and by what you're doing. Lord, just thank you that you are God, that you are good, and you are in control, and we can trust you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother.